Hello and welcome, baseball fans. We're back with another episode of Hacks and Jacks. Your host, Brett Ford, here, as always, with analyst Scott Chu. Scott, how was your week? How was your weekend? How'd things go this week?
Oh, you know, it's the wife's birthday, so naturally I spent the whole weekend cleaning up after her and her friends, but they had a great time. So it's all okay. She can't hear me right now, but I'm just going to play it safe. Regardless, right? She's in the basement. She can't hear me right now, but I'm just going to be nice and say it wasn't super tedious to clean up after grown women all weekend.
That's wonderful. I mean, it's the story of our lives as dads, right? I mean, we're typically cleaning up after somebody. Might as well be our wives. I don't know. We're talking bats on pitcher list here in Hacks and Jacks. We go over all of the fantasy relevant hitters, news and notes, Scott's top 150 hitters list. We go over all the biggest changes in that article, that weekly column that Scott puts out on the weekly, usually Wednesday or Thursday. And excited to get to this week because we have a lot of news and notes. Let's jump right in. So we've got a handful of guys on the injured list as of this week. Pittsburgh, I guess we'll call him an outfielder now. I still have trouble not calling him a shortstop. But Pittsburgh outfielder O'Neill Cruz is on the seven-day concussion IL. Los Angeles Dodgers infielder Max Muncy, San Francisco Giants infielder Matt Chapman, and Tampa Bay Rays infielder Jonathan Aranda again is back on the IL. So those four guys on the IL. And at this point of the season, it gets a little dicey as whether you're holding or letting go of guys with only, you know, 7-8 weeks left of regular season. Any of these guys cuttable at this point?
So it's really dependent on your situation, right? So obviously if you have a wide open IL spot, you should always use all of your IL spots if you can, right? Like those are free roster spots, right? Like use them. So if you have open IL spots, obviously hold. So if you don't, or if you're even under more pressure because you're in one of those leagues where you're, you know, head to head in your fantasy playoffs, don't run all the way through September, right? There's lots of leagues that stop about halfway through September. In those leagues, I think, you know, Max Muncy and Matt Chapman are the two names that would be really hard for me to hold. So with Muncy, he was awesome when he was healthy. That was quite some time ago now, right? Like, it was June when that was. And now it's an oblique issue. We don't know how long this is going to take. Even if it's the minimum 10 days, are they going to ease him back in as they're getting ready for the playoffs? The guy's going to turn 35 here in like a week. So I'm not sure he's going to get the use. And then with Matt Chapman, you know, a guy this talented, a guy with this much power has just not given us any kind of consistency this year. Now he's got this right-hand inflammation. I think he'll be back in time to contribute for the regular season. Thing is, he hasn't been good, right? Like, he's been fine in OBP, taking plenty of walks, but the batting average is .229. He only had 16 home runs, so he's on pace for like 20, which is fine. But with Matt Chapman, you know, if there's a guy like Matt Shaw sitting out there and I'm not in a place where I can just kind of sit tight and see what happens, I'm probably going to be a little more aggressive, make a move, get someone off the wire who can start contributing now. And that's one of the biggest, most important things right now. It's where are you, right? Like if you're sitting first, you can be the kind of person that's just like, well, I'll wait and see, right? My team's doing really well. I'm not under any pressure. That's when you hold the guy who's like, yeah, he's an established vet and he could absolutely pop off. We've seen Matt Chapman pop off for 2 weeks and that might win you a fantasy matchup, right? We've not really seen, I mean, we've seen Matt Shaw do it like once, but he hits the ball 84 miles an hour. So, I mean, he's been hitting it harder lately, but still, if you have the luxury of being in first, maybe you got a bye week to start your playoffs, you can be more conservative and say, hey, I like to keep my old veterans in that spot because I've got other guys that have been performing, all these kinds of things. But if you're fighting for your life, right, you're trying to get the bye, you're trying to sneak your way into the playoffs, you're trying to squeeze every drop of juice you can, that's when you can start being more aggressive. So pretty soon, my list and Nick's pitcher list are going to shift into like rest of season outlook as opposed to ranking the hitters because it starts becoming really matchup based. Very like, it's all about what they're doing this week, right? So like Rockies are real, real hot when they're at home for the week, less so when they're only for half the week or not at all. that's the mentality you probably need to start picking up, especially in those leagues that only run for about another month, right? It doesn't, at that point, it doesn't really matter true talent, whatever. It's next 4 weeks, which is really, what are the next three series? What are the next three series? How's this guy doing right now? Is he healthy right now? That's what matters. So that's the mentality you need. That, and those leagues especially, it's like Max Muncy, Matt Chapman, see ya, right? Like, I don't have time to wait. Some of you do. There are people in that league that can wait. You might not be one of them. So you really need to know where you are right now, what categories you're strong in. You know, and if it's a points league, like, how's your team doing the last few weeks? Yeah, sure. Maybe you were coasting all year, but if lately your team's gotten tight, right? You were riding Addison Barger. He's not, you know, he's not performing. You need to start getting a little bit more aggressive where, like, in my ranks, usually throughout the year, I say, oh, look, starting at 80 and on in shallow leagues, you're starting to look at replacement level. So I might rank a guy 120 and you might have the guy at 90, but you're like, ah, I'm looking for a spark. And it's like, okay, make the swap, because there's a bunch of guys between 90 and 120 that are all sitting on your wire. There's not a lot to lose. And you basically get to expand that even further now if you're only worried about the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. That's when you start saying, like, unless it's like a top 75 hitter, you can at least consider it based on the matchups, based on their health, based on their recent performance. You can start doing that, but don't go crazy. Like, again, the top 50, top 75 hitters, you're probably not, you don't mess around with that. Look for the rest of the guys on your roster. The caveat being, those of you in like an 8 or a shallow 10, that's like the top 40 you care about. And after that, the wire is just loaded. There's probably 10 and 8 team leagues right now with guys like Jacob Marcy just sitting there because everybody's already got good outfielders and no one cares, right? It's just, that's what you do. So I know I've said it several times. It's very important to know where you are, what your league is. If you haven't figured out the replacement level by now, you need to do it today. Figure out what the replacement level is. Where can you burn and churn? And still, you know, if it doesn't work, you can go back to the well and there's another, you know, at least similar quality player there.
Well, speaking of depth on the wire, there's a ton of guys back from the IL this week. And I actually added a few names that I might not add otherwise, just because of how late in the season it is and how desperate managers may be for production, as opposed to, you know, keeping those top 75 guys in waiting. So this list is a little bit deeper than we're probably used to as far as, you know, news and notes, but I'll read off all the names that have returned from injured list this week. Minnesota Twins outfielder Byron Buxton, Chicago White Sox infielder Miguel Vargas, Texas Rangers outfielder Evan Carter, Toronto Blue Jays infielder Andrés Giménez, Washington Nationals outfielder Dylan Cruz, Chicago White Sox infielder Chase Meidroth, Seattle Mariners outfielder Luke Raley, Atlanta Braves outfielder Ronald Acuna, and Toronto Blue Jays outfielder George Springer. Obviously, there's some names on this list that are, you know, guys that have been held and are not available on the wire, but there's some guys here that could be interesting over the last month of the season.
Yeah, and obviously I think the one that stands out the most is someone who's really struggled at the start of the year. That's Dylan Cruz. What Dylan Cruz does when he's playing well is he puts the ball in play, he steals a bunch of bases, and he hits double-ish digits home runs, right? You know, like I think in peak seasons we might see him hit, you know, more. He had 7 in 48 games this season. I think we should expect around 15. But the thing is, he can steal a bunch of bases. You know, in his pro career so far, he's stolen a base about every 4 games. You prorate that over a full 162-game season, which isn't perfect. But when you play for a team like the Nats, it kind of works because they run like crazy. This is a 40 potential stolen base kind of guy. So I'm all about Cruz. It's been so long since he was bad. Like, that was in May, right? So much has changed since then. Any problems he was having then really aren't going to apply now. Everything's going to be changed. And I'm going to go right back to a guy who was, at the time he graduated from prospects list, a top 5 prospect in baseball, who has a really short, I mean, he's played 79, I think today was 80th game in the major league. So that's the big name. That's the one I would be going after the most. In very deep leagues, you've got some streamers, right? Miguel Vargas, it's really hard to trust him. He's just so in and out. But if you're in an OBP league, he can be a guy who has a safe floor. I'm not that interested in Andrés Giménez. Evan Carter has a little bit of contact and speed, so maybe in very deep points leagues, I might consider it. He doesn't strike out too much. And very, very deep leagues, there's Luke Rayleigh, who can be very useful against right-handed pitching.
We'll move on to a handful of interesting prospects that got called up to the majors this week. Chicago Cubs outfielder Owen Casey, Baltimore Orioles outfielder Dylan Beavers, Baltimore Orioles catcher Samuel Basayo, and Milwaukee Brewers infielder Tyler Black. Obviously, for me, an Orioles fan, very exciting time of year because we get to see some of these guys come up to the majors and maybe have an impact in a reality setting. But do you think they could have an impact in fantasy?
This is always tough. So I'm obviously in 2 weeks, we're going to go through all these guys from the minors again, because we're going to get September call-ups. So the easy ones are Tyler Black, Owen Casey, don't care. They're not going to play. We've seen Tyler Black come up before. I think there's a decent player in there that's going to be relevant, especially in like deeper 12 teamers, 15 teamers. They're going to be relevant, just not yet. There's not room for him. And then Owen Casey, he'll have to play, right? So he's a lefty. The very first game against righty, they played him. They played three straight games after that against righties, and they didn't play him. He only had pinch hit appearances. So so Dylan Beavers and Basayo for Baltimore. Number one, I think both of them have a lot of platoon risk. They're on the big side of the platoon, right? These are both left-handed guys, and this team is super left-handed, right? The Orioles bring tons of lefties to the table, which is great when they're normally facing righties, but when they do face lefties, their entire bench is right-handed. And there's a reason for that, right? It's getting those guys into games against left-handed pitching. So those guys could sit. So with Beavers, if you're in a three outfield league, it's going to be tough because with just the depth at the position, I do like his plate discipline. He brings power and speed to the table. This is not a guy who's like currently a top like 50 prospect or anything like that. Right. So like we want to be a little bit careful before we go too crazy, but he was having a really nice year in AAA. I think in a 12 team five outfield and I'm hurting, I could see someone taking a flyer to see like, hey, let's see what happens. But I do think he's going to hit near the bottom of this lineup, and he's a rookie. And if you've learned anything over the last 2 or 3 years, after we had this huge wave of rookies who like all succeeded immediately, it's that the vast majority do not. Right. The vast, vast, vast majority of rookies struggle when they get here, or they're good for a second and then they struggle. Right. So you can go for it, but like, he's not going to be ranked when the list comes out. He'll be in the, he'll be on the taxi squad, but he's not going to be ranked because there's just not, between getting platoon probably against lefties and, just a couple questions overall about how this skill set will play in the majors. Again, I like what he can do, but we just haven't seen it there. We'll see what happens. He made big strides in contactless this year. We'll see if they carry over with Basayo. So he's a catcher. He is a top five prospect, right? This is a guy who is absolutely considered one of the top prospects, both in real life and fantasy. He's got tons of power. The hit tool is a question. I'm curious to see how the strikeouts go in the major leagues. It was only 23.7%. in AAA, but again, that starts probably looking more like 25 to 28% in the majors. Most of the time, that's the kind of thing we see when they come over. I hope we see him walking. Now, it is important to note. I say I hope I see guys walking. I really should be more accurate and say I hope I see this guy avoiding stuff out of the zone, because we don't want hitters going up to the plate to walk, right? It's the first thing you teach you in Little League. You're a hitter, not a walker, right? You don't go up to the plate trying to walk. You go up to the plate trying to hunt for stuff in the zone to hit. And I hope he does that and he doesn't expand the zone too much, because there's two kinds of ways that we see guys strike out. It's because they expand the zone too much and or they just miss, right? So like we'll see a lot of like some of the big power hitters who walk a bunch. They got like a 10, 15% walk rate, but they strike out a lot because they miss. They just straight up whiff. That's when we start talking about zone contact numbers. Things like that. So that's a number to watch for Basayo right out the gate, is zone contact. You can see it. We can get it for AAA. And that's my biggest concern here, is that in AAA, it was 75.5%. So Samuel Basayo in AAA, zone contact, 75.5%. that is not going to play in the majors. And I really worry that when, you know, it, well, sorry, that was the year before. This year it's 84.5. But what we've seen is that like kind of dip down, right? So if that number gets below 80, it's going to be tough. He keeps it above 80. It's going to be good. It takes like 2 weeks before we have a sample that really means anything, but it does go a little faster because this is a pitch level stat, right? Well, it's swing level, but guys swing, right? I'm not waiting for results. All I care about is he hitting the ball? So that's the biggest thing for him and not falling behind in the count, which he's done a good job of in his minor league career. So Basayo, more importantly for fantasy, do I need to go at him? Man, catcher is deep. It is so deep. There's just been guys coming out all over the place. Drake Baldwin recently, Ben Rice is playing now. He's played for like 8 games in a row. He's going to be the feature on this week's hitter list because he's playing. There's a lot of catchers. And some of the older guys who had been struggling a bit are now hitting again. So William Contreras is hitting again, right? So the guy I'd make the swap, like that I'd be looking to make a swap for, is his teammate, Adley Rutschman. It's been over a year since we've seen Adley Rutschman be the guy that we all want him to be. This guy who swings a lot, but is a contact god, right? That's what he was at his peak. He's not that anymore. And even when he is making contact, it's very poor quality contact. So with Adley Rutschman, that is a guy I'd let go. We'll be talking about him again in the offseason. And in Dynasty, I don't think I want to do that. I mean, Basayo is not available in Dynasty. He's been rostered for a while. But that is a guy who I would consider cutting.
Now, some notable stats for Basayo in Triple A this season. 13.7% walk rate. Now, granted, that might not be relevant, but you know, with Triple A pitchers maybe pitching around him. But the one eye-popping stat that I'm looking at is a 319 ISO this year in Triple A. I know it's Triple A, and I know I need to temper my expectations as an Orioles fan, try to keep the homerism down a little bit. But 319 ISO is something special, and we'll see if that translates to the major. Scott, like you said, the zone contact rate, major improvement from 1 year to this year, from last year to this year. We'll see if it sustains in the major leagues.
And the reason that one's so important is because we already know what's going to happen when he does hit the ball. This guy, 94.2 average exit velocity in AAA this year. Just smokes the ball, right? This guy can hit it as hard as anyone in the league, but he's got to hit it. So that's really what we're paying attention to, that he's not expanding the zone, and that when he swings in the zone, he's getting the stick on it.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into Scott's top 150 hitters list after this. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. We're talking hitters on pitcher list. It's Scott Chu and Brett Ford. Scott's put together the top 150 hitters list yet again this week. And we are talking risers and fallers in the list. And Scott, one of the first things I noticed is that we've got some guys that have typically been light hitting middle infielders that have really risen through the ranks the past couple weeks. I don't know if it's the humidity, their balls are just carrying a little bit further, or what it is, but the first three risers we're talking about are these light hitting, you know, typical speed guys that we usually kind of draft for stolen bases and not much else. But we'll start with Geraldo Perdomo, Arizona Diamondbacks infielder. He's in tier 5. He's up in the top 50 for the first time. He's up 16 spots to number 35. And I feel like this is part of that Paul Rudd meme where he's just sitting there on hot ones going, look at us, man. Look at us.
So he's been a top 20 hitter on the season. And I haven't put it. Here's the thing. I have not been a believer in the power. And the reason for that is because in, what is it? Well over 300 games, like 350 games in his major league career from 2022 to 2024, he had a total of 14 home runs, total, right? Two of those were like full seasons. He played 148 games, 144 games, and 98. He has 13 this season. He hits one more home run, he'll have doubled his career number, right? One more. So that's a really tough thing to believe. And yes, he is hitting the ball harder. Don't get me wrong, right? But he's not hitting it that much harder, right? His barrel rate is 5.7%. That is about half of what I'd expect like a power hitter to have, around 10%. It's below average, which is usually going to be around 8%. His hard hit rate is 31.2%. That's really, really low, right? Like, we just don't see a lot of guys succeed with those kinds of hard hit rates. But here he is, right? Here he is. And it's not like he's hitting more fly balls. He's not pulling the ball more. He's hitting it harder by like 1 mile per hour, 2 miles per hour, which is cool, except it's from 85 to 87, right? He just doesn't hit the ball hard. So I'm really like, rest of the season, I don't know why I've just been holding out so long, not believing the power. He's got the magic this year. I'm very, very interested to see how projections take what he's done in 2025 and carry it to 2026. Projections have a hard time with guys who have these big 1 year shifts, right? Because they're going to kind of look at it as part of like the whole. Our job is to figure out, is it truly something different? Or is this one of those cases where it just kind of, I mean, things just went perfectly, right? Is this the power peak? Because the power peak for him is probably around 17 home runs. Will he ever get close again is the question. And we see this kind of thing happen, right? Sometimes, the rabbit ball year is a good example. But like Jeff McNeil hit 20 home runs 1 year. Like 20. Jeff McNeil, right? Like, it can happen. Like, Matt Shaw has a bunch of home runs in the last 2 weeks. He hits the ball softer than Perdomo. But, I mean, again, sitting it a little bit harder lately, but still. So, I don't know how much I believe in the power, but, I mean, this offense is a lot better. It stayed playing better than I thought it would after they traded away, you know, two guys at the heart of their lineup to the Mariners in Eugenio Suarez and Josh Naylor. He's hitting, you know, he's leading off, which is perfect for his skill set over the last week because he just puts the ball in play and Corbin Carroll brings him home. So I'm hesitant on where I'll rank him in 2026, but in 2025, it's been time to move him up, long overdue.
You know, this watching Geraldo Perdomo reminds me a lot of watching Michael Garcia, except in a better lineup context. I feel like those guys are really similar in a lot of ways. But Perdomo, like you said, Perdomo is just magic this year. I don't know what he's doing different, but I feel like Michael Garcia is more of a player comp for him than like a top 30 hitter.
That's actually an amazing player comp. And one of the biggest differences between them is that Michael Garcia does hit the ball hard. Like, so his hard hit rate is in the 40%. Average exit velocity is over 90 miles per hour. He's always hit the ball hard. He just always hits it too far into the ground. So they have the same barrel rate, even though the hard hit rate is much higher for Michael Garcia. The barrel rate is really low because he just doesn't hit the ball in the air. So they're both very interesting players. And like Perdomo, we saw Michael Garcia as a starter for 2 years and for 280 games. He had 11 home runs. He has 11 home runs in 120 games now. So, I mean, it's a great comp. I actually think I believe a little more for Michael Garcia, but I also think the floor is lower for him than Perdomo. And I think the ceiling's a little lower too. Because again, I think that's what we're seeing now, but in points leagues, they're both studs. They'd both be ranked at least one or two tiers higher in points leagues. But yeah, so those are two guys that are doing some very interesting things. I'm very curious to see how projections deal with them next year. I think they're probably top 75 hitters, but where, right? Like, it, Perdomo's not going to be a top 20 hitter in drafts next year. Top 30, probably not, but maybe we start talking 40, 50. I think that's where he ends up. But we'll see, right? When you guys don't have power, it's tough.
We'll move on to our next hitter. It's Milwaukee Brewers infielder Bryce Turang, tier six, up 12 spots this week to number 50. And this is one of the rare occasions, Scott, where we see a guy elevated in your list, even though he went from batting top of the order to in the bottom third in this Brewers lineup that's been red hot, just had their 14-game winning streak snapped on Sunday against the Reds.
By Austin Hayes, of all people. But so this is the thing. So it's funny, Turang's not stealing bases like we all kind of want him to, but he did hit a bunch of home runs out of nowhere, and he's still playing for this offense. I think he could find his way back near the top of the lineup. I think he's a second baseman, and that matters. A lot of second basemen moved up because second base stinks, and it's really hard to manage that position. So a guy like Turang, who's been the second best second baseman on the season so far, is just really valuable. Even when he's not stealing right now, because this offense is so good, he's still scoring runs. He scored, I mean, he just scores runs, it seems like, every day. And that part of that's just being part of an extremely hot lineup. Until the Brewers truly cool off, I want every piece of that offense I can get if they play every day or at least close to it.
Well, let's talk about the guy who took his spot at the top of that Brewers order, and that's Sal Frelick. He's down in tier 9. He's up 26 spots, the number 87 overall. And is this just kind of like a high tide raises all ships situation in Milwaukee?
That's exactly what it is. So Frelick's at the top of an order that is on fire. They have all the magic going for him. He's stringing together some hits, you know, since coming back from the IL. He's looked, you know, pretty good, especially of late. And again, he got on base four times on Thursday, and he scored four times, right? That's what the Brewers are able to do. As long as he gets on base, he's got a real good chance to score for them right now. So because we're only looking at like a short chunk of the season, he moves up my list because I'm like, I want a piece of this offense, especially guys at the top of it. Again, against lefties, he might sit or move down in the order. But for the Brewers, whenever they're facing right-handed pitching, he should be at the top of that order. And I believe there's still quite a bit of that coming up in the schedule. And it's just you want pieces of hot offenses, right? Like it's less play, like a player. There's no such, like, on one hand, they say there's like, oh, there's no such thing as heat. You can't predict it, but you can see it when it's happening, get what you can out of it, and then be ready to move on. That's why these guys, you know, that's why Frelick isn't shot up even higher on the list. But, you know, he's an outfielder. He'll be replaceable. But, yeah, like, I want every piece of this offense I can get right now. They look like the best team in baseball in the month of August. And until they stop looking like that, I want every piece of that offense.
We'll jump back up to tier 7 where Miami Marlins second baseman Xavier Edwards has jumped up 21 spots to 68th overall. Edwards been leading off for the Marlins pretty much all season, but really slumped there in the middle of the year. He's finally getting hot again, Scott. What's going on with Edwards down in Miami?
Well, the second half has been just much better for him. But the thing I was really waiting for is the steals. When he came on last year, Xavier Edwards was a stolen base machine. He would not stop stealing bases. We came into the season thinking this is a guy who, oh, he's going to steal, you know, 40 bases, 50 bases, right? Like that was the dream. And it just did not happen. Again, when I say like he had 70 games, he stole 31 bags, right? Like he was flying on the base pads. This year, the plate discipline is just as good, but the stolen bases aren't there. 107 games, 23 steals. That number looked a lot worse until about a week ago, right? So it started with they played five games against Atlanta. I think they stole a bunch there. So just in the month of August, we have Edwards with six steals. That's the pace I expected earlier. This team just lost Kyle Stowers, who was at the heart of their offense. If they want to score runs, if this team still wants to feel like they're playing baseball, one of the ways they're going to have to score those runs is with stolen bases. So seeing Xavier Edwards run again, that got me shooting him back up because without that, it turns into empty batting average on a bad offense. Right. But again, that's those stolen bases started coming and it was time to move him up. Oh, and the contact has just been fantastic. Like, I don't want to say it's empty average, but it's a lot of average. Right. Like he is hitting a ton. He had multiple hits at one point in like 8 of 10 games or something like that. He's as red hot as it gets. And he's stealing bases. Like you couldn't be happier if you've been holding on to him.
Well, let's stay in Miami and talk about a rookie who's come up recently. He's all the way up in tier 11, making his debut on the hitters list. He's at number 117 this week. That's Miami Marlins, Jacob Marcy. Talk to me about what you've seen from Marcy so far and all the things that you like about him.
All right. So I need to start this out by being a wet blanket. Jacob Marcy obviously has been red hot fire since he got called up. We did see him sit twice against lefties. So like maybe he's sort of mortal, but he hit a home run today. So what do we know, right? He sat and he hit a home run. So that gives him 4 home runs in 17 games. He's got 6 stolen bases. His plate discipline is fantastic up here. You know, 15% walk rate, 18.3% strikeout. Actually, it's like 14.5 and 17.7% now. here's the thing. Jacob Marcy was a prospect we were kind of interested in because he runs, right? He runs. He ran in the minors. He had 47 stolen bases in 98 games. He had 51 stolen bases last year in the minors in 137 games. Dude runs. That's why we were excited about Marcy. And the plate discipline's always been good. Throughout the minor leagues, he's been, you know, very, very disciplined at the plate and, you know, looked like a guy who could do a couple things for you. He's, you know, and he's a Central Michigan guy. So, you know, from my home state here in Michigan, one of the Chippewas, but it is time for me to be a wet blanket and say, I don't believe in the power. I don't necessarily believe in anything beyond the plate discipline and the speed for Jacob Marcy. And the reason for that is because we've seen this kind of thing happen before, right? Just because we've seen the results doesn't necessarily mean that, like, oh, this is what he is. I am extremely skeptical of players who come to the majors and do things we've never seen them do before. So again, I believe in the speed. We've seen Marcy run in the minors. I believe in the plate discipline. We've seen him be disciplined in the minors. We've never seen Jacob Marcy hit for power at all, right? That's just not been part of his game. And now that he's doing it against better pitching, like, it's really cool, but I'm not at all a believer that this is something that he can do long-term, right? Like, again, this kind of thing, it does happen. So in the Reddit AMA, I looked at 14-day samples from August. Yeah, I just looked at the first 14 days of a month who had put up numbers like Jacob Marcy had, right? This is a very important lesson I need all of you to really think of. So it's not that uncommon to do what Jacob Marcy did for 2 weeks, right? So guys with similar two-week stretches just in the last year, Spencer Horowitz, Luke Raley, Colt Keith, Max Schumann, Kyren Paris, Ryan McMahon, and Jorge Polanco. That's 185 WRC plus or better for the first 14 days of a month. Not even just like any two-week stretch, just the first 14 days of a month. Most of those guys had a WRC plus over 200, right? And again, I don't want to say that Marcy's like all of those guys, right? Kyren Paris, we knew immediately. We're like, nobody can survive with this kind of plate discipline, right? But like Ryan McMahon, I remember last year it came up. Oh, he's raking. He's like, he had a swing change. No, he's hot, right? Like maybe he did have a swing change, but we hear about swing changes only when guys are hot. We never hear about swing changes when guys are in the middle of a season mucking about, and they are changing their, like, they are tweaking stuff all the time, right? It's a game of adjustments. So I like Marcy. I ranked him much higher than I usually do. A guy who was like the team's like 25th best prospect, who got called up. Again, believe in the plate discipline. I believe he can give you good ratios. I believe he can run. I don't believe in this power one bit. That doesn't mean you don't add him, right? If he's somehow still available, grab him right now, because I absolutely could be wrong and he's on fire. But don't get caught. It's so easy. And I see it, doing the Reddit AMA helps me see this happen so much for people who think that, like, wow, these 2 weeks are special. And they are. They're extremely good. But like those weren't the only guys who've had a good first 14 days of the month in the last year. They were just the ones that weren't good players, that, like, guys that we already knew were amazing, right? There's actually way more players who do that for the first 14 days of a month. These were just guys that I thought made a good example. Again, Spencer Horowitz, Luke Raley, Colt Keith, Max Schumann, Kyren Paris, Ryan McMahon, and Jorge Polanco. Some of those guys did that this year. Ryan McMahon, Kyren Paris, Jorge Polanco, they all did that this year. Colt Keith did it twice this year. Twice this year, he's had a 14-day stretch to start a month as good as what Jacob Marcy's doing without the steals. So, like, just don't go crazy. If you're in a keeper league, you keep 4, you keep 6. Marcy is not one of those guys. Maybe if he does this for all of September, like all of August and all of September. But, like, that's what Lawrence Butler did, right? Like, Lawrence Butler's another good example. Guys can be very, very good and for an extended period of time, and that might just be as good as they ever get, right? My favorite example was, I think his name was Dominic Brown. He played for the Phillies forever ago. He had like 25 home runs and like never basically hit another one again. Right. I think that was 2019 rabbit ball kind of thing, but that's just what happened. So, I like Marcy, but not like this, right? Obviously he's a hold. Obviously you should be excited about what he's doing, but like, he's not going to be, he needs to prove a whole lot for me to think that this power is real, because he never did it against inferior pitching.
Well, we'll switch coasts and we'll go to first base, where Athletics first baseman Tyler Soderstrom, I guess he's an outfielder now, actually, Scott. Tyler Soderstrom, he's in tier eight. He's up 31 spots, continuing his yo-yo season. He's back to number 76, right about where he was before he started slumping. Tyler Soderstrom all the way back, you think, Scott?
Well, he does sit against like half of lefties. So I don't want to call that a platoon, right? It's only lefties. It just so happens the A's have played a crap ton of them over the last 2 weeks. Like half the pitchers they faced are lefties. That's very unusual. So I keep, you know, it was a long slump for Soderstrom. It was a long slump where he like didn't even hit for extra bases and he keeps spiking, right? Like that's what we see is like spike and then lull and then spike and then lull. And that's very classic for a power hitter. Even one who doesn't have like, you know, who has good plate discipline or at least pretty good plate discipline like Soderstrom. I think it gives us a sense of what he is, right? Mid to high 20s home runs, can hit for some average, not like a good average, but not a painful one, right? 264 right now. I think he can hit anywhere, probably 250 to 260. He could, that's something he could get to regularly. He's pretty good at making contact. The barrel rates are pretty good. This, you know, this offense for the Athletics has some exciting pieces. So, you know, when they're hot, it looks good. The strikeouts have been a lot better of late. Like they took a big dip back in June and they just stayed there. So it's only around like 20%. You know, like there's a lot to like. First base is deep. I think Soderstrom is good enough to be on that level. We started the year with like a whole bunch of guys that we thought were going to be great all year. Manzardo was there. Soderstrom was there. Torkelson was there. Rice was there. We started the season with all those guys like, man, these guys are going to carry first base. And first base stayed deep, but not necessarily because of all of them all of the time. So, I mean, there, a lot of them are relevant again, like Ben Rice playing every day now. He's relevant again. But Soderstrom, yeah, I think he's going to be good enough and play enough to just lock in at first base and forget it. And I only just recently started feeling that way after he had that extended slump in the summer. He peaked again, then he fell off again, but he's coming back. And how quickly he rebounded from the last slump is what really kind of sold me. I'm like, if he can do that, if I don't have to wait a month for Soderstrom to be good again, I'm willing to wait.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the guys tumbling down the list, Scott's fallers, after this. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. I'm Brett Ford here with Scott Chu. As always, we're talking Scott's top 150 hitters list. We're looking at the fallers. We're looking at the guys who have not performed recently and thus been dropped down in the rankings by Scott in his weekly column. We'll start in San Francisco, where Willy Adames, he's in tier eight. He's number 74 overall. He has dropped 18 positions. And really, the whole Giants offense is starting to crumble.
I thought they'd get better, because they added Rafael Devers and they just didn't. So we had moved right around, starting in like July, we had moved Adames way up because he was just on fire and he had done this before. And again, I don't usually believe in like first half, second half splits, but we've seen him get hot and just carry for like 2 or 3 months. And this one, I mean, he had a great stretch of about a month. It fell off hard. And the biggest thing that has caught my attention is, since July 30th, the strikeout rate has gotten absolutely out of control. It's 34.8% for him. Not hitting the ball with any kind of power, only an 86.5 mile per hour average exit velocity. It's just ugly, right? It's ugly. And shortstop's deep enough that you probably can look around. Yeah, he hits third or fourth. He plays every day. That's all great. But Adames doesn't do enough to really get me excited. And his slumps just seem to last so long. And we also haven't really seen him strike out like this before. And it's very sudden. Like he just started striking out every day, multiple times. It's really bizarre. And it worries me a little bit, especially on a team with nothing to play for. So yeah, he falls, he may fall again.
We'll stay in the middle infield. We'll head to your Detroit Tigers, Scott. Tier 8, number 79 overall, down 20 spots. It's Tigers second baseman Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit before about how when the offense is good, you want every piece of it. And that was how Gleyber Torres got so high in the ranks. The Tigers were a great-looking offense. He hit near the top of it. He hit, at one point, four home runs in six games. He was looking great. And then immediately after that, which is basically about the start of this month, it just stopped. And the Tigers offense, which has looked a little better, playing against Minnesota helps, has looked a little better of late. But it's just the run scoring has stopped. And now all of a sudden, it's not even empty average. He's not hitting for any average. So since August 2nd, he's hitting 170. He's got one home run and one double in 59 plate appearances. Second base is a tough position, but Torres just isn't getting it done right now. And if you're if you're fighting for your playoff life, it's probably time to start looking at the wire to see what's there. Again, if you can wait, because he has long-term, Gleyber Torres has a very high floor. The ceiling isn't crazy, but he has a very high floor in general. But, again, with this big slowdown, it's not like strikeouts or anything like that. It's a slump. We haven't seen the peaks in quite some time. You can move on. If you can wait, especially those deeper leagues, you probably have to. Second base is too ugly. But in a shallow league, man, burn and churn.
Well, speaking of guys that you can burn and churn, we move down to tier 11, 121 overall. He's down 30 spots this week. It's Cincinnati outfielder TJ Friedl. Friedl still batting leadoff for the Reds, but not sure for how much longer, Scott.
Yeah, he's just not doing anything, right? I feel like he's had 10 home runs and 11 steals forever. Like, that's not – like, I know that's not true, but because he got one steal somewhat recently, but, like, in the month of August, he does have zero home runs. He has one stolen base. He has, what is it, 3 RBI this month, right? Like, batting leadoff is cool if you're getting hits. He's not. He's not walking that much lately. So usually we see Friedl walk quite a bit more than he has been lately. It's like an advantageous home ballpark, but he's an outfielder. And he was barely above the replacement level in the first place. So the moment he really kind of starts something like this, it's like, well, on the season, he's batter number, like he's like just inside the top 90 in 10 and 12 team leagues. That's replacement level. See ya. Right. Like you can, especially in 3 outfield leagues, you're burning and churning. Don't hold, because the ceiling was never that high for Friedl anyway. It was just that he had a bit of power, a bit of speed and decent ratios. And again, if you're trying to fight for your playoff life, you don't want a middling guy. Go look for some upside.
Yeah, go grab Jacob Marcy off the waiver wire if he's still there.
He's not, but someone, there's probably tons of outfielders there, right? Because outfield is just, again, it's crazy deep, right? Like there's lots of outfielders in 3 outfield fantasy leagues, and you don't need to wait for a guy like Friedl to turn it around, right? If you're just looking at like last week's, obviously like Michael Harris is going to be a guy who shoots up. He's not available anymore, but Dalton Varsho's hitting. And give that a try, right? He's a streaky hitter, and it's in one of the good streaks right now, right? Jerks and Profar, the whole Atlanta offense is looking like they've got something, like 5 months too late. Jerks and Profar hits at the top of it. I might, kick the tires on that. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is one of the most infuriating players in fantasy because he's just crazy streaky for a guy who at the end of the year has the same line all the time. But he's hot right now. Right. Yeah. He's coming off of Chicago, but whatever. Give it a try. Like, there's plenty of guys out there that you can kick the tires on. You don't need to wait for TJ Friedl.
We'll move on to another outfielder. New York Yankees outfielder Jason Dominguez is down in tier 12, barely hanging on. He's ranked 150th this week, down 66 spots. Talk to me about Dominguez.
I didn't take him off the list because I wanted people to notice that he fell and didn't just disappear. I didn't want people to think it was an accident, but it was very abrupt. They just stopped playing him. right? Like Jason Dominguez was playing pretty much every day. And then he sat against some lefties, even though he's a switch hitter. And then he sat like 4 out of 5 games, which is right when I was releasing the list. And yeah, he did start the 3 games after that. But yeah, yeah. I don't like there's I just I talked about how deep outfield is. I don't have patience for guys who might out of nowhere sit 4 out of 5 games. Like you just can't hold that, right? Especially because there's a lot of pressure on that team right now to perform. Giancarlo Stanton is going to force his hand at playing time, who, by the way, just sat 3 straight games at the expense, you know, even though he was hitting. This Yankee team is like the Rays right now. You don't know who's going to play on any specific day outside of like Aaron Judge. Trent Grisham is back to leading off for them every day after all of us, like he was in and out of the lineup. It's a tough thing to follow. They keep giving Paul Goldschmidt time, like Paul Goldschmidt's back, so they keep giving him time, even though he's not hitting. It's very, very frustrating. And I think right now, the guy who looks sort of like the odd man out for fantasy is Jason Dominguez, because he hadn't been that. We'd been sort of waiting for a breakout. He hadn't already done it, right? He had like a good 2 weeks in July, and that was about it. We haven't really seen it again. So with that, plus the lost time, we just can't keep waiting.
Well, that does it for our fallers this week, Scott. Is there anybody from the taxi squad that you wanted to mention, whether it's for good reasons or not so good reasons?
I mean, I said my piece on Marcy, and there's going to be a lot more of that throughout, you know, this time of year as more guys get called up, more guys get sent down. I think a player that's worth noting that may have gotten cut while he was on the wire that is hitting a little bit and may be helpful to you at third base is Alec Bohm. So Alec Bohm is back. He can be very helpful, especially in points leagues, if, you know, someone didn't wait it out and they let him go. I don't want to just keep belaboring the point, but you do not need patience this time of year, right? Just avoid the guys with the biggest, most obvious red flags. So like Colson Montgomery is one of those guys. He strikes out way too much. Like he's a classic White Sox hitter. He never walks. He strikes out a ton. Yeah, sure. He'll have a hot 2 weeks, but by the time you notice and you grab him, you get nothing for it. A great comp for him is like Kyron Paris, right? Who never walked, struck out way too much. And we even said, now that you noticed, it's already too late, right? You needed him a week ago, right? Because now, you know, you're playing on borrowed time. So you want to watch out for that. And I also want to talk about a guy who is ranked very high, who I'm not worried about yet. That's Pete Crow Armstrong. So Pete Crow Armstrong he's been slumping, right? He's had a real rough 2 weeks, even the last 30 days haven't been good. It's especially bad in the month of August. Just not finding hits, right? He's just not doing, he has 1 stolen base, no home runs. He got caught once. He has 1 coming into today. He had 1 run and 1 RBI in the month of August. And yes, you have to keep playing him. The reason is because yes, the strikeouts are ugly, but we already knew that this is what Pete Crow Armstrong is. He is a streaky hitter, right? He doesn't walk a lot. He keeps the strikeouts on the, you know, for the season as a whole down, right? Like we've seen him strike out like he is right now before he did that back in May and June. You just didn't notice as much because he was performing still, but don't panic. There's nothing really wrong here. This is just part of the ebb and flow for Pete Crow Armstrong. Like, yeah, he's probably not a top 5 hitter, right? But he's still top 15. Even if you're pessimistic, he's got to stay in your top 20, 25. He's way above the threshold of you got to start benching him. And I get it. I'll hear you say it. Oh, he's been hurting me so much the last 2 weeks. Those days are gone. You only care about what's coming forward, right? And Pete Crow Armstrong, if you're doing projections, is going to beat just about everyone on the wire for the rest of the season, right? Like we know in reality, there might be some guys that outperform him, but I think you've got to hold. We have seen too much that's been too good to say, like, there was nothing illegitimate about what he's doing. There's nothing illegitimate about his slump, right? It's not just bad luck. There's nothing illegitimate about how good he was, right? Like it was all there. He was hot. Now he's not. That's the only real difference. So just hold, be patient. Don't give up. I mean, he's been so good. I don't think this was going to happen. I see too many good players get cut this time of year because people say like, oh, well, I can't keep waiting. It's like, look, dude, it's been a bad month, but he had five good ones, right? So like, you know, have a little patience, especially for a player that we've told you all year long is a streaky guy, right? Because when you see guys with low walk rates and strikeout rates around 25% or higher, they are streaky. They put a lot of balls in play. They also strike out a lot. They're aggressive swingers. They expand the zone, and that can get ugly at times. You've got to wait it out because when he's good, he's so much better than everyone else.
One guy that you talked about during one of our breaks, actually, that I think is going to be relevant here in the very near future is Seattle Mariners outfielder Victor Robles. Robles on a rehab assignment, will be coming back soon. And Scott, you made some really good points during that break about where he'll fit in this Seattle Mariners lineup when he gets back. Do you mind just going over that again?
First, I want to say, I do not care what the rehab numbers are for Victor Robles. He's played enough games in the majors that I just don't care. He has 617 games in the majors. I don't really care what he does on the rehab unless he goes like 0 for a million, right? Which he hasn't. He struck out a little bit, but he already has some hits. He's already put the ball in play. He's doing fine. So with Victor Robles, what matters is where he's going to hit, right? So Robles, obviously, he came on really strong at the end of last season. Hadn't shown us much yet in this season and then got hurt. He's been, you know, he's probably going to need like another week or two in the minors, but the Mariners are just a grooving offense, right? They brought in some extra guys. The question is, where's he going to hit, right? So Randy Arozarena, who's been really, really good this season for the Mariners, is currently the leadoff guy, but he's notoriously streaky. Right. Not for the same reasons as like Colson Montgomery and Pete Armstrong. It's just something we've seen throughout his entire career. So Arozarena is streaky. Could they put Arozarena down and have him hit like sixth and put Robles at the top of the order? I think that's very possible. Right. Like I think instantly when Robles comes in, he will play every day. Right. Because Dominic Canzoni has been fine, but he's not great. Right. There's plenty of room for him. If he's hitting at the top of this order, he's going to be a guy I want to add immediately. Just because, again, I want a guy who's leading off for an offense that's grooving. Cal Raleigh, J-Rod's, J-Rod's looking great. Josh Naylor's been fine. I mean, he's been pretty good. Eugenio Suarez is going to turn it around. We've seen it a little bit the last few games. That offense is going to groove. So if you've got an open IL spot, this is the time. Go grab Victor Robles. And you might not hold him long, right? If he's not batting leadoff and maybe they're platooning him a little bit, just let him go. But that's a guy I want to see, especially if he's going to be batting at the top of that order. And I think there is a chance that happens.
Well, that'll wrap it for Hacks and Jacks this week. Scott, let the people know where they can find you and your work.
So obviously you can find me, let's just call it Thursday. Thursday morning, midday, you can find the top 150 hitters, also known as the hitter list. You can also find me on Twitter at if the chew fits, if the CHU fits, or blue sky, scottchew.pitcherlist.com. I have not been super active on social media lately, but I will start trying to post some charts just for some of these young guys that have come up. I think there's some really interesting charts that are out there that are worth taking a look at.
And of course, I'm Brett Ford. You can find me on Twitter at Fade That Man. Make sure you hit me up in the Discord as well. I'm super active in there. And you can find my content on Sundays talking Fab Insights, just talking Fab Bids. It gets super interesting this time of year because the teams that are out of contention just stop bidding. So it becomes kind of a 4 or 5 man race in some leagues, and there's an edge to be had. So it's super important to pay attention to those columns these days. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. And Scott, make sure you wish the missus a happy birthday. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.